Okay, the story. Text for continuation of chapter 1, volume 1. From the homeless part when it starts. So, and I'm just going here, telling the story, and it should then be put into speech bubbles and panels. So Maria sits there discussing with Arthur and Elena. Who are shortly telling their story. And Arthur says, you know, Elena has a good idea, I think. Elena, tell her about it. You know, she's shy, but okay then. Well, maybe Arthur was even working in the accounting department of one of those financial corporations, banks or whatever. They also deal with the papers. Anyway, and she could she was an old web developer, maybe. I don't know, but again, I'm just going here. She says, well, you know, if we gather the homeless around here and this town to start with and organize us a bit, and not just asking for donations, but self-to-self-help, if it's called so in English. You know, a piece of land out of town, some building material, if nothing else. And they discuss a little, like, yeah, you know, just a website. Online video channel, sharing our experiences, and that we construct our own homes and take care of them. Learn how to do it and teach others how to do it. You know, they think sometimes we're just a bunch of alcoholics and drug addicts sitting here, but of course some are, but some of us are not and have professional experience. And maybe Maria asked, why don't you do it? She said, you know, we can hardly get food. But today we need some help to get it going. And you don't have much self-confidence when you are sitting here. Maria thinks, But I know what it should be called, Elena says, smiling. Going home. And I think if we do a good job, and then eventually take care of ourselves, and we could also cooperate. Little projects making money for us to pay our rents and get food on the table, and then we are happy. We don't need much. When you are here, you learn. To be happy with the little. She's speaking now, Elena. Maria says, well, I may know someone. And they look at her. And she steps out of the tent and I'll see what I can do. And walks off. And she passes one of those fancy clothes stores on the fine street of town. Looks in the window and walks in. Comes out with nice bags with fancy clothing brands on them. Logos. Singing a little tune or whatever. goes back. To the up-down building, and there she is in the server room, whatever you call it, where she works. The guy is sitting there. Hey. Going shopping, aren't we? Yeah, just dropping by. Got something to do. And she goes in the elevator again, and there she is up in the on the top floor in that secret little house, where she starts to plan things. She sits in front of that supercomputer this guy had there that she now has control over, and I don't know how, but she somehow or other finds out there is a... Maybe she just checks the mail, and there's an invitation by mail to one of those super cocktail parties, events where the top politicians and business people enjoy themselves together. So she types a little, gets an entrance ticket to that, and they are anonymous and encrypted, coded, so these are discreet parties, just for the journalist not to spot who's there. And then she she can talk to that computer, that's better, instead of writing. There's some special AI there, everybody has that now, on that level. No, we wait with that party that will be last here. Going back a little bit, when she walks away from Arthur and Elena, she notices that on the gate into behind the fence, so to speak, where their tents are along the sidewalk, where they live, there is an old building there, a rental, you know, kind of building, and it says for sale. An old factory or something. Kind of not the best shape, but anyway. Maybe she notes something down on her phone or something. And then she walks back to the uptown building and continues up there. And then she speaks to this AI. It's a good to have an AI there. Lady, you know, by that little building on number 9 across the street. Make sure you get the best price for it. And employ no. Bring in 20 beds there, some food. Just make it nice for some people to work, something like that. And then she tries her clothes. And she kind of sits in front of the mirror and some makeup and wig, and she or suddenly looks, you know, she becomes the fair lady. Really fancy. And she comes down and walks out. Nobody notices her. again, looking back, actually, when Arthur and Elena tells their story, starting with, you know, we had a house and a nice garden, then we illustrate their story. It can be like three panels or something. We show that little nice house or the garden, and we see the big city in the background with two of them there. And then next one, we see when they get the letter there from the bank. Maybe the third one. I don't know what the third one should show. We could have three panels that show by bringing us into that situation. You know, the, in essence, in a nutshell, a typical thing would happen then in 2008 and what left people like them basically on the street, unemployed. Anyway. She sees that, now we're back here after meeting Arthur and Elena, Maria's there, seeing that building and noting down that it's for sale. He continues turning into another street and a big shopping street and going into fancy clothes store. And maybe here we can switch over to, and we can have a little narrative thing saying there, meanwhile. In this small town somewhere else. And there is Pio walking. And there is a homeless beggar sitting outside of the bookstore or something, or the big square. He drops a coin or something, or a bill. And then looks up and two guys come walking. Hey! Isn't it old Pio? You're back in town. When was the last time we met? Back in the water skiing club. It's crazy, time flies. So you moved to the great capital city, right? Turning to the tiny hometown, and Pierre said, yeah, I usually make a visit here every summer. And one guy said, hey, you got anything to do? No, or I thought of going down to the pub. Why don't you come with us? I will meet more of the old gang there. Sure, why not, says Pio.